from Lambeau Field, home of the 13-time champions. It's the Mike McCarthy Show with Wayne Larrabee, Lance Allen, and the head coach of the Green Bay Packers.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Mike McCarthy Show. Following the San Francisco game, a 45-31 season-ending loss for the Green Bay Packers, along with Lance Allen, I'm Wayne Larrabee. We're joined by the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, Mike McCarthy. Mike, after a final game like that, what's your procedure? How do you break it down? Do you go right back to the tape, or do you kind of sit back for a while and let that one simmer?
Well, I actually haven't had a chance to watch the tape yet. What we do as a staff, we got back, I guess it was about 4:30 in the morning, Sunday, and we started what we call exit interviews. Started at about noon Sunday. That went through Sunday, all through Monday to get through the whole football team. Tuesday, it was more about the medical and tying things up, and then Wednesday I'll start meeting with the staff.
Mike, Colin Kaepernick, is that kind of the new age quarterback, so to speak, the whole read option, you know, a really athletic quarterback running, all that sort of thing? Is that something for the future?
I mean, it's a scheme that you're obviously seeing this year, and just like anything in this league, when people have success with it, I mean, there's probably a chance you're going to see more of it.
Mike, I don't know if I've ever seen a quarterback who runs a 4.440. That's what Kaepernick says he runs, and it certainly looked like it that night in San Francisco.
Well, he's a good athlete, no doubt about it. And I see, you know, once again, I think you're seeing more of those type of athletes come into our league, and college football always has a way of coming into our league, whether it's high school to college to the pro schematically, and I think you're seeing that right now.
Mm-hmm. Only down 3 at the half, but they outscored you 21-10 in the second half. Was it just the inability to stop them on third downs, or what did you look at in the second half that just didn't go well?
Well, I think it was a combination of a lot of things. I think that, you know, the fact that their offense hit was so productive was a big key in it. You know, I think the time possession eventually caught up to us. That was a concern at halftime. You know, we felt offensively we were going to be able to match them and, you know, potentially exceed their point production. I like the plan on offense. With the number of opportunities we had, we were productive. You know, and special teams was really another area that did not produce. I mean, the field position battle, we were almost over 200 yards of field position we lost. And, you know, our return game really hurt us.
Mike, the Jeremy Ross muff obviously hurt in that first half. There's no doubt about that. Gave San Francisco a short, very short field. But Randall Cobb also, when he was back there, muffed a couple of kicks or punts. Was there something going on here? Was the lighting bad? Were the guys not? What was happening?
No, we didn't catch the ball. I mean, there are no excuses. The weather was fine. It's disappointing for me personally. 2 years in a row. We're handling the football was a major issue in both playoff games. You know, going back here to the Giants, those are the times I think things that really bother me. When you apply training, extra emphasis, extra training, and then it shows up again. You know, obviously the punt muff was a huge play in the game. It was a huge momentum swing for them, and, you know, didn't have them back-to-back turnovers there in the first half. But, you know, once again, we went down and scored. It was a 3-point game at halftime. Felt like we were able to, you know, rally at halftime, and we couldn't stop. We couldn't stop them. Couldn't stop their offense, and, you know, we didn't match it offensively. But the field position, you know, I mean, when you're minus 200 yards in field position, their offense produces 579 yards. Time of possession is, you know, 38 to 21. I mean, those are big lopsided, obvious facts in the game.
Mike, you mentioned exit interviews. There's always change in this game, but do you anticipate having your coaching staff back? I know there were a lot of questions about Don Capers, your defensive
coordinator. Well, there's nothing to talk about right now. I mean, this is why you have an evaluation process. For people to jump to conclusions like that, frankly, is ridiculous. I don't understand why you know, you got to take a step back. I understand the disappointment. Mm-hmm. We're all disappointed, too. We have the best fan base in professional sports. They obviously care. I feel their disappointment, but you go through an evaluation process. We do it the same way every year, regardless of how the season ends. So we're just getting started through that. We'll start with the coaches Wednesday morning.
Mike, I wanted to go back to the game just one more time with you. In terms of, I know that as a play caller, you have a feel for the game in a certain situation and that type of thing, and it does impact how you call a play. You guys had the game tied midway through the third quarter.
Correct.
You had had a certain amount of balance, run to pass in that ball game. But when they went up on the 56-yard run by Kaepernick, it's a seven-point ball game. Did you have a feeling like a lot of us watching it did that it was more than a seven-point deficit at that point in time on the sidelines as you called the game?
No, not really. I mean, when, offensively, the way you call a game, it's the things that lead up to that point. I obviously came home with a lot of offense on my call sheet.
Sure.
And there were some packages that we wanted to get to. We started the second half in the four wides, one back, really wanted to run Dwan Harris in that package. You know, we did not convert the third down, but we had some things in Randall for Randall Cobb, and where he was highlighted, that was very productive on the next drive. So the only thing I regret offensively, and just looking back on the game, I've been aggressive on fourth down. It was 11 minutes or so there in the fourth quarter, the fourth and four. If I had it to do over again, obviously, you know, I would have gone for it. So, but Tim and Mason, I thought, handled the ball placement very well. I was confident in Tim pinning them back. We did. Yep. You know, if we get the stop there, we get good field position. It's a two-score game. So, but other than that, the way the game was called, I was very comfortable with it.
All right, Mike. Stay tuned. We've got a special guest coming up. Don Barclay, the offensive right tackle of the Packers, joins Lance and Coach when we come back.
And welcome back to the Mike McCarthy Show. We are joined by our special guest this week. He is right tackle Don Barclay. Don, thanks for joining us this week.
Appreciate you guys having me.
Undrafted rookie free agent. Talk about your path to the NFL, getting here in Green Bay.
It's a fight. You know, I went to West Virginia from a little bit outside the city of Pittsburgh. And, you know, it was a good ride here. You know, I had a good college career. I had a lot of fun. We won some games. And, you know, I didn't get drafted. And I worked hard at it, trained hard in the offseason, came here and just tried to open some eyes.
You're a competitor, but did you think, as an undrafted rookie free agent, that this would almost be like a professional redshirt year, your first year?
Yeah, I was on some special teams in the beginning, so I was just trying to contribute in any way possible and, you know, just wait for my time.
Mike, you know, a lot of times you talk about draft and develop. I think that it almost needs to be changed now. It's almost like sign and develop because you've had so many undrafted rookie free agents that have contributed on this team.
Yeah, so our personnel department has done a great job identifying fine young men like Don. It was kind of tough to get used to him at first, being from West Virginia, being a Pittsburgh guy. But he came around, and once again, when his opportunity presented itself, he did a great job.
Don, injuries are a part of this game. You found out about it very early in your career. What was that like when you found out that Brian Bulaga went down and you were the next man in?
Yeah, it was tough, you know, especially for him. And I was pretty close to Brian too, and he's a great guy. And you know, stuff like that happens in the game. You know, everyone's pretty much guaranteed to get hurt. But, you know, he'll rehab, he'll get back, and, you know, he'll be fighting again next year.
You know what the next question is he's going to want his right tackle job back. What's that going to be like next year for you, competition?
Yeah, it'll be a battle. I mean, you know, he's coming back. You know, we're both going to battle the spots and see what happens.
Mike, do you kind of like that? You know, obviously it creates more competition, more depth for next year.
Oh, excellent. I mean, our whole philosophy is you never have enough good football players. And anytime you see a young man like Don step in, play well, grow with every opportunity, get better as our season went on, that's a definite plus.
Mike, a lot of times it's said that the left tackle position is an island position. Do you have respect for these guys at right tackle as well? Because they're still going up against some of the best premier pass rushers in the game.
Well, we're not a traditional offense anymore. You know, usually, you know, in the old days, you were more right-handed. You played with your open side more to the left. We're pretty much have the ability to be open on both sides, so we put high value on both our tackles.
Don, how good are your feet, so to speak? I mean, like Mike said, right tackle position this day and age, you got to be able to move.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, any position you play in the line, you got to be able to move. But, I mean, I've always tried to work on my footwork. I've always played three sports growing up, and I think that helped me out a lot. And playing basketball, and you know, especially in the off season, I try and do a lot of footwork. It's always better to do footwork over power. So,
in the Niners game, obviously they have a lot of really good defenders. You matched up against Ahmad Brooks. Talk about your performance in that game and how you really held your own. And does that give you confidence for next year?
Yeah, it's giving me confidence. You know, I wish it would have turned out better. And you know, Ahmad's a good player. He's powerful. You know, he's tough. And you know, it was a good battle out there. We did a lot of quick passes. We did some deep dropbacks. But, you know, for the most part, I felt like I held my own. But I could take a couple plays back. I wish I had back.
Mike, how bright is this guy's future? And what did you see this year that you really liked out of him?
Well, just the fact that he stepped in and played and didn't slow us down. Anytime you put a player in the game, especially a young player, a rookie player, you know, does the offense have to adjust? So I think it was evident just the way we were able to continue to play, played as wide open as we have all year against the 49ers, and that's a credit to Don.
And Don, you talked about your background was a three-sport star, being athletic. Do you ever kind of lobby the coach a little bit that, hey, I got those soft hands, tight end, you know, you're going to be tackle eligible, anything like that next year?
Maybe sometime. I only did that once in my life, high school.
And how did that work out?
I caught it, yeah. It worked out good.
See, Coach, there's another play for the playbook right there.
Don't have enough playmakers, that's for sure.
All right, Don as well as Wayne, they are next up on the Telestrator. You're watching the Mike McCarthy Show.
Second down, Green Bay. 33-yard line of the Packers. Harris the lone back. They give to Harris around the right end. Tries to bounce it to the outside. Slips past the defender. Penalty marker down on the tackle.
Welcome back to the Mike McCarthy Show. We're with Don Barkley, the offensive right tackle of the Green Bay Packers. Let's step inside the playbook, Don. And this is first quarter. The game is tied at 7 apiece. You guys are running the football pretty effectively. It is 2nd and 10 at the Green Bay 35. You got a zone blocking scheme here. Show us what you're looking at pre-snap. And you're right here, right on this end.
Yep. It's a basic zone call here. I'm trying to push this guy out to open the inside lane. Josh and Dietrich are trying to seal this guy up to the backer, and Marshall and TJ are trying to get this guy to the other backer to kind of open that running lane up here.
And with the running lane, is the run supposed to go here?
Yeah, he is the front side look, where if I were to actually reach the DN and reach him inside, he could take it out here. But if not, just if I kick him out, he'll run it in the inside.
We've got too many lines. I better clear him. Let's roll the play, see where he goes. This is, again, Duane Harris in the backfield. And watch this. You guys seem to have it sealed pretty well right in here, right?
Yeah.
Except for one thing. Patrick Willis, the All-Pro.
Exactly.
Nobody's able to get to him, right? Go ahead and roll it. And Willis comes over, makes a play. Nice cut by Duane Harris to pick up 5 yards on the play, but you were looking
great
for more,
cut.
Right?
Yeah, you know what? It was a great play call by San Fran.
Tell me why. We're looking at it from the same play from the end zone view.
If you run the play a tiny bit here, the DN crashes in and takes out Josh, which ends up freeing up Patrick, which is what they wanted. That's what their whole plan is, to give it to the linebackers.
Okay. And go ahead and roll the play right here. And as you can see, number 52, Patrick Willis, comes uncovered basically
exactly.
On that play.
Now, on this play, too, if you go to the widescreen look,
we go back to the widescreen.
This whole play, you know, Aaron could also, his second key, he could throw out to the slot.
This is one of those, and Larry talks about it a lot, run-pass option. There's a running play on. You guys are all going to block run, right?
Yes.
But he could change it and throw the football in this case, right?
Exactly. I mean, you could be 2-3 yards downfield blocking, and all of a sudden a receiver's got the ball running downfield. You don't even know.
Don, thank you very much. We'll take us inside the playbook. Stay tuned. We've got more coming up with the Mike McCarthy Show after these messages. Welcome back to the Mike McCarthy Show. Wayne Larrabee, Lance Allen, the head coach Mike McCarthy. Top performers, Lance, why don't you start us on offense?
All right. Aaron Rodgers, James Jones, Randall Cobb all had spectacular years. Mike, maybe just kind of highlight a little bit of what those guys brought to the table.
Well, when I think Aaron Rodgers, I just think of consistency, you know, his ability to continue to play at such a high level week in and week out. James Jones, I think of opportunity. This is the first time he's been really given, you know, the opportunity to be in the lead role and have the attempts, you know, week in and week out, and look what he's done. So I'm very, very proud of James for that. And Randall, just, you know, the young guy taking that next step. I mean, you always look for players going from their first year to second year to make that big leap. And he obviously did in a big way.
And just one quick note on Aaron Rodgers, not going to play in the Pro Bowl, just a little banged up, just needs a little bit of rest, Mike?
Yes, he's. I know he received some treatment today from Dr. McKenzie, and he is not going to be able to play in the Pro Bowl because he has not passed our physical yet.
All right, let's talk about the defensive side of the football. The Packers defense, Coach, improved from 32nd of the league in yardage to 11th overall and 11th, if I'm not mistaken, against the pass. You had a lot of young cornerbacks out there, Casey Hayward being one. Sam Shields really came on, I thought, at the cornerback spot the other.
Absolutely. I'm very pleased with the development Sam has made, and I can't say enough about the impact Casey's made. Obviously, with the injury to Charles Woodson, his ability to go in and play nickel and play at a high level, his ability to get his hands on the football. So very happy with those two young guys.
We also don't want to forget about Clay Matthews. Mike, do you feel like he made that step as a run defender this year? Everybody knows about his pass rushing ability, but it seemed like he became a more complete linebacker this year.
Definitely. I think the grades definitely reflect that. He was a much better run player this year, you know, graded out that way. I mean, he's an impact player. He's someone that, frankly, at times they just can't block. So it's when you miss him for 4 weeks, it seems like an eternity. So we got to keep him healthy.
All right, special teams, your most consistent unit throughout the season, San Francisco notwithstanding, but overall over the course of the season, you felt special teams week in, week out. You kept saying that's our most consistent unit.
Absolutely, and if you look at the grades, a lot of consistency. Our coverage was clearly better. I thought our return game blocking was significantly better. Mm-hmm. I felt like we've left some production on the field.
Fans' choice, you can always send us your suggestions on Twitter at hashtag McCarthy Show, either the play or the player of the year. And this year, it was a player, Randall Cobb, all-purpose yards, franchise record. The sky's the limit, Mike, for this guy. It just seems like he can do a little bit of everything. He's almost like a Swiss Army knife out there.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, just in the fact that he's able to handle all the, you know, different roles that he plays seamlessly. So very intelligent, smart, instinctive player. And obviously very skilled.
All right, next up, our last segment of the Mike McCarthy Show. Stay tuned for that. Through the 2012 Touchdowns for Charity program, Sargento Cheese will be donating $67,000 to the Hunger Task Force and more than $33,000 to Paul's Pantry. Sargento Foods and the Packers Touchdowns are helping alleviate hunger in Wisconsin.
Back to wrap things up on the Mike McCarthy Show as the Packers season has come to a close. And, Coach, when you look at your offseason program, besides taking care of that cough, you know, what's the first step for you guys in terms of your plan now for the offseason?
Well, you know, the first step is, you know, we have to go through an evaluation process. It's going to take some time. We have to coach the Pro Bowl. So
that's a nice perk. Yeah, I know you'd much rather go to the Super Bowl, but if you can't go to the Super Bowl, Hawaii's not bad.
After we get done with the Pro Bowl, we're going to
Lance and I'll go for you.
Here's my ticket.
So there'd be some interesting plays dialed up, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't want to complain about going to Hawaii. Don't get me wrong. It's great for your family, but it's tough to do 2 years in a row. Yeah. But it's important to do that. It'll be good for the staff, but I mean, we got to get through our evaluation process, and then from that we'll set our plan. We'll get right into the scheme of evaluation, make sure we're ready to implement that when the players get back, and then at the same time we all also have to get ready for the college draft.
Mike, you've always been very clear in saying here in Green Bay you play for Super Bowls and championships. When this all settles down, can you reflect on the good this year of the back-to-back division titles and maybe some other things that happened this year?
I already have, and I think it's important to be aware of all that as you go through the evaluation process. But, I mean, you do have a goal. You know, we're not satisfied, you know, winning 12 games or winning a division. That may flash at some other places. If you're going to line up to compete and really want to attain that year in and year out, you have to keep that the focus. So nothing gets swept under the rug. We have to be very honest with ourselves. I mean, myself included. I always take a hard look at the training. You know, what are the things I can do to impact the football team? You know, because, you know, at the end of the day, the players have to play the game. And everybody has to take the same approach.
And it all starts right from ground floor, doesn't it? I mean, every team is different, no matter how many players come back or how many leave.
Well, the thing about it is, you know, I think people tend to forget, you know, 20, 25% of your football team changes every year. Because you go to training camp, and if you're going to go in and say, hey, you're going to keep the best 53, you know, and we do everything to give these young guys a chance to compete for jobs, the team's going to change. So we have to make sure as a coaching staff that we're ready for that. Because, you know, the variables of, you know, matching our identity or implementing who we want to be from an identity standpoint, it adjusts every year. You don't ever stay the same in this league.
Yeah, absolutely. Coach, congratulations on the season, and best of luck in the offseason. Thank you for your time on the show this
year. Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks for a good year. Thanks, Mike. Very good year.
That'll do it for the Mike McCarthy Show. We'll see you next year right back here at Lambeau Field.